Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TAILORMADE 101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm! Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comment. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events. Greetings and salutations, everyone. Greetings and salutations. It's good to be back with you once again. We've actually been on the sabbatical for the last 6 months, taking care of a couple of different things, and so we're very excited to be back on the air. We had a lot of hot topics going on over the last couple of weeks, and we're just ready to get started and talking about them. Most notably, in the main topic today is really about the enemy of the state. Now, a lot of people have been saying for many, many years that the government is listening to our calls, but it turns out that it has come to fruition, meaning that people have really, really been listening to our conversations. In fact, there was an article in the Washington Post that talked a little bit about that. Specifically, it reads, The Guardian initially reported the existence of a program that collects data on all phone calls made on the Verizon network. Later in the week, The Guardian and The Washington Post reported the existence of a separate program called codename PRISM. Now, this PRISM program, it collects the internet data from foreigners are from major internet companies. Now, quite naturally, you know, the government is going to say that it's collecting information from foreign. But I want to know, what's your opinion? Do you think we are being monitored? I remember in Enemy of State, she said, who's monitoring the monitor, right? And so I want to get your opinion on this Enemy of State type of situation that we're fighting ourselves in today. I also want to talk a little bit today about the comments that First Lady Michelle Obama made at a fundraiser the other day when she was being heckled, and she said to the heckler that she doesn't do this well. What would you do in that situation? So all of these things we want to talk about today on Current Events with Patrick Cook. We're going to return in just a minute, and we're going to take your phone calls. And when we return, we'll definitely be talking about these and other topics. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company, Tailor Made Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy, and I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend, and of course, my Eastbourne friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Joining me live in the studio is the executive producer of Current Events and the chief operating officer of TaylorMade Training and Consulting. I introduce to some and present to others no other than Jima Hill Cook.
Hello.
Jima, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back. How are you?
Absolutely wonderful. You know, I was telling the audience out there that we've been on a brief sabbatical over the last several months and taking care of some things, and we're back at it for the weeks and months to come. And I wanted to kind of talk about a lot of the news, the things that are going on in our society, most notably the enemy of the state situation we're finding ourselves in. What do you think about that? What do you think about the government monitoring the Verizon network and this new program called PRISM that's watching our internet traffic? What do you think about that?
Well, as I was thinking about this when everything was coming out this week and how some people seem to be in such a state of shock that the government could potentially be monitoring what they're doing, I was wondering where these people have been living for the last, 20 years or so, because we've been under constant tracking since we started using cell phones for forever, since we started getting GPS devices in our vehicles. So we should not be surprised that somebody in government has access to the information that's being collected. So when all of a sudden you're sitting and you log into your computer and you go to your email and things that pop up on your email page, things to buy or things you're interested in, surely you don't think that's just because you're special. You don't think that there's somebody out there monitoring the sites you go to and all of a sudden those things are being generated, geared towards, you know, you all the time now. So we have to know that we're being tracked and monitored and surveillance, whatever the word is you want to use. It's been going on for forever now. And for us to act as though, oh, my gosh, the government is listening. Somebody's listening. So whether it's the government, whether it's Walmart, Kroger, your local favorite shoe store, but you're being monitored in everything you do. I mean, we have cameras everywhere. Why do you think we have all these cameras up at stop? There's those cameras that stop lights on to get people going through the lights. I mean, come on. You know, we can be so naive sometimes about the world that we live in. And so this shock and awe is kind of funny to me because, you know, you've said it for years, which is why you didn't want a cell phone years ago, because of the tracking and how they're able to monitor. And so, you know, I joke about it all the time, you know, in terms of having conversations with certain people and all of a sudden the call gets dropped and I'm like, oh, yeah, they had to change the tape over, you know. And so people laugh at it, but they probably did. I mean, I don't know, you know, but I'm not surprised. I'm more surprised that people are surprised than I am that the government is actually doing it.
Okay, so I hear you. The question that I pose, though, is that whatever happened to privacy, whatever happened to freedom? I mean, the fact that the government is involved in my intimate conversations, the government is involved in the little nuances or the little searches that I do on the web or the these research that I'm doing, or even the ideas that I have that I may come across as I do research, are they? I mean, it's the potential for them to take that away from me, take away my privacy, take away the fact that my ideas they may be pulling from me, take away the fact that I'm no longer free to roam and to do and to say and to do the things that I want to do because they're listening and monitoring everything I do. What happened to that? When did we reach the point that we, the United States of America, or the Americans, are no longer free to have an intimate conversation with our loved ones? When did we get there?
I don't know that we are there. I mean, you can still have that intimate conversation with your loved one. You can still have.
But I mean, it's no longer one on one. It's no longer Imano Imano. It's now Imano Imano and Obama. Right? Right? It's no longer me and you. It's me, you, and Obama now. So why is it that, I mean, you know?
And it was me, you, and Bush before. Me, you, and Clinton before. Me, you, and Bush before that. I mean, that's why I'm not understanding why people are in such awe, as though, oh, my gosh, this president is doing something that no other president has done. Oh, this government is all about this government, his government, right? It's all about snooping into our lives and into our business. If you're not doing anything, then they're not going to find anything on you. If you're not conspiring with Al-Qaeda, or if you're not conspiring with some extremist group, whether it's the left or the right, to overthrow the government or take down the government or blow up something, they're really not listening to you. They're not concerned about what you're doing. So you have nothing to be concerned about. So I don't understand what this all of a sudden this my privacy. What privacy? When you swipe your card at the grocery store to get those extra little points on your card at Kroger, what privacy? We give up more privacy going shopping online.
But I'm in a public domain then.
Everything.
I'm in the public domain then. I'm in the public domain when I'm swiping my card, when I'm buying gas, when I'm buying food. But when I buy my cell phone that I own, that I carry at my own house, that I purchase my Verizon service, when I call you, I expect for only you to be listening, not you and Obama to be listening. I mean, what is going on?
He's not listening. He's not listening to you. The president and the president's administration is not listening to your conversation. Contrary to popular opinion for a lot of people, he is just not that interested in what you're doing, unless you're doing some of those other things I talked about. The funny
okay,
part
let me disagree with you here. And here's why I said disagree with you. Now, the Guardian initially reported the existence of a program that collects data on all phone calls made on the Verizon network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this data that was being collected by the NSA, the National Security Agency. The National Security Agency briefs the President of the United States. So, consequently, if I make if I have a phone call on the Verizon network, the data is being consumed by the NSA, and the NSA is briefing Obama, then he's listening to my phone calls. Unless the Washington Post is wrong, or unless the Guardian is wrong, I just don't want to have a conversation with him, you, and me. I just want it to be me and you. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with me wanting to have a private conversation?
Okay, the short answer to that is that there's nothing wrong with you having a private conversation or you wanting to have a private conversation. The other answer to that is he's not listening. They're not listening to audio. They may have a phone number, and they're linking up different phone numbers. If you've been calling out of the country, and if that person in which you're calling out of the country is now tied to somebody else, they're going to see you, how often you and this person correspond with one another. So if you're not talking to anybody somewhere else over a lengthy period of time, planning and plotting something destructive, you really don't have to be concerned about somebody listening or following or calling you based on something you said on the phone.
So how do they know I'm planning or plotting if they're not listening?
It's the other person that you're having the conversation with. If you're not on their most wanted list, or if you're not on their watch list, they're not. But if you happen to call that person, then probably somebody's going to want to find out how many times did you call that person. And then they're going to go through some other steps to try to probably contact you. But it's just not, they're just not going to keep listening in. They're not listening anyway. There's no audio of these phone conversations. It's number. It's data. There's no audio.
It has to be audio because that's the only way. That's what they're telling you. You believe everything
that's
what they're
telling
you. Okay, so
and that's
okay.
what they're telling
right.
you too.
So you're telling me that you believe that they first of all they told us that they weren't monitoring. Now they're monitoring, and you're saying now they're saying they're not listening to the audio. You believe that?
What I'm telling you is that as the president stated in his press conference, there has to be a balance of privacy as well as knowing that the age in which we live in, that you're going to have to give up some things as well, so some inconveniences. Just like when we began to have to take off our shoes when we got to the airport, it was going through security, and we can't carry anything over 3 ounces of liquid when we're going through security. And the photo ID and the name on the ticket and all of these things all happen in response to. So can we not, on some level, be proactive in how we're going to deal with the threat of terror as opposed to always being reactionary? So I applaud the administration for trying to be on the front end of a crisis as opposed to always reacting to something. That's what we're not taking a look at. And the information that they have been able to collect has helped them prevent things from happening. So I'm thankful that this is what they're doing because I don't want to be inconvenienced any more than I already have been. When you're flying and you're going to the airport and you got to think about all the things in your purse and whether or not you took out your toenail clippers and all this other kind of stuff, you got to be prepared for that. So if they have found a way to handle this national crisis of security and the threat of terror, whereas my life doesn't have to be any more inconvenienced, I'm thankful for that. But we don't want to look at it that way. we don't want to look at what they've been able to prevent so that we don't have another 9/11, that we don't have another whatever. We don't want it. It's just like the prison system. It's just like the prison system. We want to lock people up, but we don't want to lock people up in our backyard.
Okay,
right?
So let's talk a little bit about this national crisis of security. Let's talk about that for a minute. Now, you're talking about giving up something. Right now, we can't wear our shoes on an airplane. We can't take water on. They're using the water, I guess, to waterboarders. And there's a number of things that we used to be able to do, but we can't do anymore. And I understand where you're going with that. Here's the second problem I have outside of the fact that they've taken our privacy. The fact that this enemy of the state government that they're in right now, that we're faced with right now, they can't keep a secret. Here's the problem, right? Let's assume that everything you said is okay. They're doing it in our best interest. I don't agree with, but I'm going to make that assumption right now that they're doing what they're doing in our best interest, meaning that, yes, they're listening to our phone calls, minus the audio, as you say. They're collecting this data so that if we call someone that is conducting themselves in a manner that is unbecoming or that may put us in jeopardy, then, you know, they're collecting that data. Well, what about the fact that this NSA previous employer is now letting out secrets, right? If they're doing all of these wonderful things, now they just expose themselves and every tactic that we have to our enemies. So here is the government again, A, they're taking away our privacy, B, they're giving our secrets away. So whether they're protecting us or not, and now giving away our secrets, I have a problem with that. So this whole leak thing, is not just about privacy, it's also about secrecy.
I agree with you on that. I agree. I believe that the person responsible, and he's come forward, they've released his name. I believe he's completely out of order. I believe he's jeopardized our mission. I think he's put us at greater risk because our American society is a society that thinks they need to know everything and they need to know it now. We have some of the most incompetent people in Congress right now who are making and saying all these crazy things. Do they not know that the enemies around the world are listening and watching and waiting for us to be able to be, quote, unquote, transparent and tell them everything that we're doing? How do you wage a war? And this is what's interesting. I'm going to take you back to the 2008 campaign and when President Obama talked about some things he would do and how at that time McCain stated how ineffective he would be as a leader if he was to tell them what we're going to do to them, right? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, very well.
So here we are now where he has not told anybody what we've been doing in terms of gathering this data and gathering this intelligence, and yet he's been able to keep things from happening where we don't have another incident. And now they're saying, well, we need to know what you're doing with this. And for what? We have leaks in Congress, in my opinion, that are a problem. We have people that we have elected to serve us that is doing us a great disservice right now. And we're too blinded by the man in the White House to really take a look at how they are, as you stated so eloquently, jeopardizing our safety. They're jeopardizing our safety, not what's happening with the people collecting the information. These wannabe politicians and wannabe news journalists, in my opinion, and are the ones that's doing more harm to us as a nation than this program or the NSA ever was. So I think that that Mr. Snowden, Edward Snowden, I think he needs to be prosecuted. I don't think he's a whistleblower. I don't think he could be protected under the whistleblower law status. I think he was out of order and completely wrong. And he has jeopardized a mission, and he has jeopardized our men and women that are serving in these secret capacities that we don't know anything about.
That's the problem.
About.
That's the real problem I have with this whole situation.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't want to know. I don't need to know all that. I don't need to know how you're going to get that done. That's not for me. I need to know that it's done and that when I walk out of my house, I'm safe. When my child goes to school, he's safe. That's what I need to know. I need to know that whatever you're doing is working and it's keeping me safe. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know how you made the cake. I don't need to know that. But we have a group of people that all
eat
of a sudden.
Eat the cake, eat the cake.
On the 20th anniversary.
That's right.
So, you know, I just think that, you know, we have to find the balance and we have to know when that knowing, sometimes knowing too much information is bad, is worse than not knowing enough. And right now we're in a very tricky spot. And this thing could go either way on us if we're not careful. And this information could fall into the wrong hands. And as you say often, people have a price. The average person can be bought. Bottom line, the people looking to gather information, they have done their homework on you. So they know what your weaknesses are. They know if you indent up to your head. They know how much money you need. They know if your child needs a transplant. They know everything about you, and they will use everything they can to get what they need. And so we are placing ourselves in danger. We are placing ourselves in danger by even having the conversation. The people on television, all the talk shows, Sunday shows, everybody, by even having the conversation, we are showing our enemies our hands. And you never do that. You never show them your hand. And right now, we're showing them our hand, and we're too stupid to even realize.
Because the first thing they're going to say is, no wonder they got Bin Laden. No wonder they got all these people, because they listened to everybody's phone call. Right? I mean,
hello.
You can draw a logical conclusion that says that it's easy to find somebody if you're listening to their phone calls. You know, it's easy
right.
to track somebody if you know where they're going. I mean, the fact that their tracking devices in all these cell phone chips, I mean,
right.
tracking devices in the cell phones, and
and
fact
everybody,
that everybody,
but we knew that. Everybody knew there was a tracking device in your cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, I mean, there's too many shows on TV to tell you that. You turn your phone on, they know exactly where you are. So everybody knew that. At least I hope they did. If not, you've been under a rock and you need to come outside a little bit more and see the sunlight. But so we knew some of these things. What we did know is what they were doing with it. We knew that you could be tracked by your cell phone. We knew that your credit card, they could track what you're doing. We knew that. We knew all the cameras up wasn't just a traffic violation, but we didn't know who was gathering it or why. So now that we think we know who's gathering it and why, now we want to have a problem with it. But can you say since September 11, 2001, there's been anything else that happened here in the United States of America?
Well, you know, domestically we can argue a different point. But, yeah, absolutely. I know where you're going with that. So I have one more question, but I just want to make sure. That our callers out there can, if they want to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to take another short break. But when we return, I do want to talk about this. I have one more question regarding this topic, and it's primarily associated with what do we do with the information now that we know. Now that we know that they're monitoring our conversations and they're monitoring our web traffic, what do we as American people do? What's our next move? They showed us their hand. They showed us their move. What's our next move? All right. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, Tailor Made Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Seema, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, Tailor Made's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Current events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy, and I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend, and of course, my Eastbourne.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Patrick Cook.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. I want to continue the conversation on, are we living in an enemy of the state time? We've been talking a little bit about this idea that the government is listening to our phone calls and monitoring our internet traffic. The fact that there's a privacy concern, but also a secrecy concern. But I want to now visit this idea of, now that we know, what do we do now? What is our next step? How do we change our behavior? Or, better yet, the enemy, what does this cause them to do, right? I mean, the reason why the Taliban, if you will, or the Afghanistani conflict were able to be so efficient and effective against the United States because they went low tech. Whenever you're talking about deploying high tech equipment against a low tech infrastructure, typically it caused the high tech industry to have a little problem, right? Because of jamming and you can use rocks and you can use these improvised devices and you can use things that are low frequency components. So it gives them problems. So now that our enemy, as well as our domestic friends, know that we're monitoring the network traffic as well as their cell phone traffic, Gene, what do you think is going to cause them to do? It will it cause them to change their behavior?
No. Cause who to change their behavior?
The enemy, as well as people in the United States, our domestic friends that know that the government is listening to their calls, as well as our enemies that says, hey, that's how they got Obama. I mean, Osama bin Laden. That's how they got the other guy in Iraq, right? Hussein, right? Saddam Hussein. So if they believe this, do you think it's going to cause them to change their behavior?
Here's what I think. Here's what I know in my heart. I'm hoping I'm right. Here's what I think I know, shall I say, that I'm going to trust our intelligence community, our intelligence agencies, our those people that are in that area to be a little bit ahead of where I am in my area of technology, right? So I'm going to say that while this may have been the standard practice one way, they have more than one way in which they're gathering information. This is just one, and this is just the one that we know about. I'm pretty sure that there's some other method that they're using that is going to help them to gather whatever intelligence they need to be able to find and prevent different things from happening. So, yeah, of course. I mean, that's where the whole prepaid phones came in, was because they couldn't be traced. And so that's when, you know, and that kicked in, what, about 5-10 years ago. So that's when all of a sudden certain kinds of people were using prepaid cell phones, and because you couldn't track them, you know. And so it's not as though people didn't already know. Those that were living a double life, quote-unquote, don't already have alternative means of making contact, because they already do. And so just like the bad person, the enemy, so to speak, is always seems to be one step ahead of the good guys. I think the good guys are one step ahead of the common folk in terms of trying to gather information. So as I stated, what we found out, I don't think will have an adverse effect on either population, because we have become so dependent on cell phones and our freedoms and our usage of technology that, I mean, when the lights go out and we don't have access to the internet, some of us like lose our minds. So we're not going to
stop. Yes, some of us do.
Some of us lose our minds, so we're not going to stop using it. And we're not going to change anything we're doing, because the average person doesn't think what they're doing is that important to the government. So they're not going to change anything. The person that's questioning it, or maybe doing something, maybe so not above board, they may change, but they were already ready to do that anyway. I don't think this would make them do it. They were probably already looking for alternative ways to communicate.
Okay, that's fair, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that they are already taking those measures, because they do have some insight, or did have some insight, the fact that this was happening anyway. So let me shift the conversation a little here now to something else that was hot, in my opinion, this week. And it has another thing to do with one of the Obamas. This one is Michelle Obama. Now, she was at an event, and she got this heckler. And I'm going to play it and get you to take a response. Take a listen.
On Michelle Obama last night, private fundraiser at a home in Washington, D.C., confronted by a gay rights activist, and she was having none of it.
One of the things that I don't do well is this.
And John, right after that, she basically walked right up to the heckler and went toe-to-toe.
This is something else, George. The heckler told us afterwards that she felt like the First Lady was just a few inches away from her face. What happened is she came down from the podium, approached the heckler, and said, you could hear a little bit of it in that tape, one of the things I don't do well is this, listen to me, or you can take the mic, but I'm leaving. You all decide, you have one choice. George, the crowd loved it. They started applauding. The heckler was removed, and the First Lady went on with her speech.
Okay, so of course the right wing made a big brouhaha out of this whole situation, but when you're out at an event, I don't care what type of event it is, for you to be interrupted, or for one to be interrupted, is rude, and I think that the First Lady handled it appropriately. What do you think?
For sure she handled it appropriately. I mean, there comes a point in time where you just have to say enough is enough, and it's not so much that the woman had something to say in terms of the heckler, but is how she chose to do it. And let's be real clear, Michelle Obama does not have anything to do with the making of laws, developing bills, or signing any of them. So that was not the right venue for this person to interrupt and make this statement, number one. Number two, you're dealing with a president and first lady who are very pro for your cause as an LGBT, LD, whatever it is, community. That they are supporters of equal rights and things of that nature for lesbian and gay people. So why would you heckle her? Why would you not go and heckle some other person who is not as supportive of you and your rights? Why would you go after her? That's what irritated me, and it irritated me because it was just out of order. It was just out of order, you know, and those other people, if it was a public venue and it was just outside or something, whatever, but this was private, people would pay their money, and they didn't pay their money to hear you screaming from the back of the room. So had I been in the room and I didn't pay my $500 or $1,000 to be in that room and this person coming up here hollering, I'm going to have something to say to that person. I don't even care if what they're talking about is something I support. I didn't pay my $1,000 for you. I paid my $1,000 for her. So I need you to go somewhere and sit down.
Right, right. You frequent these events quite often. You know, so I understand how you would act in a situation like that. So that's pretty cool. I know you know the protocol. What do you think about her comment, though? Sometimes we have these Freudian slips when we're in situations that are, in some cases, uncomfortable to us. And she said, one of these things that I don't do well. She kind of put well because she's an educated, smart, wonderful, gracious, eloquent young lady and understood that she put that well in there. But the fact remains, you said, one of the things I don't do well is this. And so what do you make of her comment and the connotation of the I don't do component?
I think she was right on point because she let everybody know I'm not the one to come up here and try to yell and scream in my face that I don't do this. If you have something to say, you can say it, but you're not going to be disrespectful to me. I don't do that, you know. And people often talk about how calm the president is when it happens to him. Well, unfortunately, he has to be calm. He doesn't have the luxury of, you know, going back off on the person that's interrupting him. He has to give them, you know, especially when he's in a public venue. Now, let's be clear about this, though. There have been times he's been in places and it has been inappropriate for someone to yell out to him or say something to him, all in the name of free speech. You know, we kind of take these privileges a little bit too far sometimes, and we think we can just say whatever we want to say. Yeah, you have free speech, but you also got some boundaries around that. So, yes, she was in her right in terms of free speech, but just because you have a right, as we've stated on numerous occasions in several different situations, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do at that time. So she was completely out of order. I think Michelle, when she said this is one thing I don't do well, she meant it just like she said it. I don't do this. You're not going to holler and yell and scream at me. We can have a conversation, but you're not going to be talking at me. That's what I got out of it. You know, whatever you got to say at this moment is not as important as what I'm saying. I'm up here talking about the children, and you hollering out about some executive order. We're not even talking about that. So it
right.
would be different if it was a public event, if they was at a function that was even talking about what she was talking about, but they were not. So, you know, for Michelle, I applaud Michelle, and I'm glad she did it. I bet one of the Mohicans come up in her conversation like that. They
don't
raise
their
hand. They don't. Can I ask you a question? I mean, because we've spent more of the heckler. We spent more time talking about how wrong she was than addressing what her concern was, because we also know that this particular administration has done more to further their agenda than to stop it. So she was just wrong. And although he hasn't signed the executive order, you should not want him to sign an executive order, because that can be taken away under the next president. You want it to be a law. You want it to be something that's going to be in place regardless of who's president. See, people don't think sometimes, you know? And so
They just want a moment. They want that 15 minutes of fame.
Right, you know? And then they move on to the next thing. And then you'll be fighting the same fight when you should be fighting for something else by now. So
yeah.
I'm saying that I agree with George Stephanopoulos, round one to the first lady.
All right, speaking of a good fight. The Trayvon Martin case is about to take place here. Will this be the new O.J. Simpson trial of the century?
I hope not. Because on the difference alone, we really don't know what happened with OJ and Nicole Brown now. We think we know, but we really, because nobody else was there.
I mean, is this the same situation? We don't know. No one was there.
No, we know he killed Trayvon. We do know that.
Oh yeah, this is true.
We do know that. He's admitted to that. What we don't know is the circumstances leading up to it, whether or not it was self-defense. But we do know he killed him. That goes without, you know, that's been proven already. So what I'm hopeful for is I think it's going to be difficult to find a jury in that community that is going to be able to render a verdict that will please the majority of the people. I really do. I don't think they're going to find it in Sanford. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. If George Zimmerman gets off, I pray that people have some decorum about themselves and not react by violently burning up stuff and shooting up stuff and just doing destructive behavior. If he's found guilty, I hope the same thing. I hope people don't, you know, use that same high energy to go and be destructive either. So this is going to be hard. I think it's going to be hard to watch because they've already tried to put Trayvon on trial in terms of some of the things they wanted to come out. Luckily, they're not going to be able to do it. There's a couple other things that's come out in the last couple of days about George Zimmerman. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out. And I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if at some point he changes his plea. I would not be surprised. Because as more information comes out, it's going to be difficult for them to prove self-defense. Because
here's the problem I have with the case.
Mm-hmm.
The two facts that he cannot get away from is the fact that he followed Trayvon Martin and the fact that he shot and killed him. So
right.
In my mind, because we did not see or there were no eyewitnesses that we know about, that was a part and that could give us context of those two things. It's going to be very difficult for anybody to say that he's innocent. And I say that in the context of we heard the 911 tapes over and over and over. We heard the fact that he followed him and he kind of watched and bobbed and weaved and made statements and drew, and almost built himself up to this anger before taking some action. Now, whether it was self-defense or whether it was murder, I don't know. But he did take action. We do know that Trayvon Martin ended up dead. We do know that he followed him, and we do know that he was saying things, building up this anxiety against this man, this young man. So those two things are constantly in most people's mind. This guy followed him, he gunned him down. Whether it was self-defense or not, you don't follow somebody and then say, hey, I'm protecting myself because I should have walked away. And so the verdict could potentially set precedents that is okay to hunt down and kill a black man. And that's the fear that I have, that this verdict could potentially cause America to take that in and say, it's okay to hunt down a black man and kill them and claim self-defense because I know I can get away with it. I've seen it happen before. That is the danger of this case. And the fact remains that Trayvon Martin is, his life was taken from him for no apparent reason. There was no reason. He wasn't breaking in anybody's home. He wasn't running. He wasn't smoking weed. He wasn't shooting dice. He wasn't stealing. He wasn't lying. He wasn't cheating. He wasn't doing any of those things. Yet his life was taken away from him. That is the thing that this trial, it puts me in, it gives me pause.
I agree with everything that you said, but I mean, as I stated, I really think that as more evidence comes out about that night, them not wanting to have the 911 tape admitted into evidence in terms of the experts stating whose voice is on the tape saying, help me, help me. And the night of his interview, George said, that's not me. So he's already said that it wasn't him. And so if it's not you crying out for help and it's Trayvon crying out for help, how are you defending yourself? How is it self-defense if he's the one hollering out for help? So he's gonna. So that's why his attorney, O'Malley was really trying so hard to get in negative evidence on Trayvon, so as to kind of turn the jury pool away from a sympathetic ear as it relates to Trayvon being an unarmed 17-year-old kid and wanting to make him out to be this member of Bone Thugs and Harmony or something. So, that's the reason why, because some of these things are just not adding all the way up. And so even as it relates to George Zimmerman's injuries, there's a report out today that's saying that the DNA report does not support that Zimmerman's claim that Trayvon Martin caused his injury. So these injuries that he was talking about, the broken nose and all the blood we saw coming down the back of his head, DNA is saying, the DNA report is saying Trayvon could not have done all that. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, So that's what I'm saying. This trial will get the attention that the media loves, because they love race and they love religion and they love to talk about these two things because they know it puts people up in arms. But this particular case is different. I see it being different because – OJ was kind of on the fence. He was kind of on the fence in too many different communities and things of this nature. And there was a lot of blood evidence. There was some racial aspects to it. The gloves didn't fit. You had a world-renowned attorney. I mean, a lot of things were going on. So it was more entertaining than anything else. Now, we hated the fact that, this plagued OJ for the rest of his life, and it will continue to plague him. But the fact that the whole trial was entertaining and people was like, wow, and he was like, it was like watching a reality show. But this thing here touches home. And it's going to be very emotional. I think this case is going to be very emotional. And the fact that he lied during some of the preliminary hearings, the fact that he tried to hide money, the fact that his wife was lying. I mean, so when you already start out before the trial lying, and then you want to come in and say, all these other things you're saying, believe me? It's hard. I mean, this is going to be a hard, dark, deep trial.
Right. I agree.
It's going to be played out in that fashion. And I just hope that at the end of the day, the verdict doesn't set a precedence one way or the other. Because if he gets off, it's going to be a lot of tension. I just see that. And I hope that doesn't happen. I'm going to pray that it doesn't happen. But the fact that it's okay to go out and gun down a black man is going to be kind of hard.
Right.
So I want to talk about – go ahead.
The sad part about that, though, is that unfortunately that idea is already in the minds of so many people because that's already happened before. So it happening again would be one of two things. Is it going to confirm what you already know, or is going to, make you think differently the next time? That's all. It's not – I mean – people get off with killing black people every day. There's too many unsolved murders in every city related to black people. So this is just one of many. And I just pray, as the family does, they've asked people to remain calm and let justice do what justice is supposed to do. So that's all we can hope for.
Yeah. Speaking of justice, what do you think about Serena and winning, the French Open?
Oh, yeah, and it's amazing that you haven't heard a whole lot about it, isn't it? I mean, if you didn't know, you wouldn't even know. It's just
exactly.
Truly amazing to me. And so I find that quite interesting that she did what she did, how she did it. I mean, I think one of the tweets I read somewhere said in her semifinal round, she ended that match in as long as quicker than it takes some people to go to the bathroom. That's how, I mean, she was just going through them, you know. So congrats to her once again, and she's on this this month's cover of Essence magazine as well. So
yeah, I mean, she's truly awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, speaking of awesome, Nelson Mandela is pretty awesome too, and he's taken ill. And the way that the report came out, it worries me. It concerns me that he's been frequenting the hospital more often lately, and I wonder what's going on with his health.
Well, pneumonia is a hard thing, and once you get older, it's really hard to get rid of it completely. So I just think he just continue to have bouts with pneumonia. And once stuff gets down on the inside of your lungs and you're – Nelson Mandela is over 80. He's like 83 or 85 or something. So it's just his body is just weak, and it can't sustain probably even some of the medicine that they want to give him. His body can't receive it. So, you know, the day is coming, and we should just be prepared for it. That, you know, he would join, you know, some of our great others that have gone on before him. But he's done what he was charged to do on this side. And so if he goes in peace, I say he'd live a good life. You know, his dash will be long in between the beginning and the end.
So speaking of peaceful and getting out of here, You and I have been kind of on sabbatical for the last several months, and it's time for us to wrap up. So do you want to give some final thoughts before we get out of here?
Wow, where did that time go? It was great being back. I'm excited to be back. Have a lot going on. If you're out there listening, we do have our summer reading and feeding program that happens starting June 17th to August 2nd at Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Rowlett, Texas. Our hours would be Monday through Friday, 8 to 2. Feel free to visit the website. You can see the flyer on there as well as fill out a registration form. If you want to bring your child every day to the program, we do math, reading, writing. One of the things we know is that kids lose a little bit over the summertime as it relates to reading. So we've partnered with all of our local libraries as well, who all offer a reading program where kids read so many books, and they go to the library and they get certificates and stickers and coupons and different things like that. So we just encourage you to make sure your child is reading over the summer, that they're doing some kind of math over the summer so that when school starts back, they are prepared. Also, the feeding part of that, we know, is, as in our advertising states, that kids, once the last bell sounds, a lot of them don't have food enough to sustain themselves through the summer. So we want to help meet that need as well. And so that's why we've partnered with the City of Garland Housing Association, and we provide a breakfast and lunch. So and it's all free of charge. So we're just encouraging people to come out and be a part of that. Patrick and I, we're both in school, and so this is going to be quite interesting how this works itself out in terms of us doing what we're supposed to do for others, because that's what we're all charged to do, is to serve. And I believe that with my heart that God is pleased when we do that. And so I am looking forward to the next couple of months as we get started on the program and keeping you guys informed on what's going on in the world and giving you my opinion, because you know I do have one. So just stay tuned, and next week be ready, because we'll be back again.
All righty. It was great being back, and we'll be back again next week. And so, again, Jima, I thank you. You always do a wonderful job on the program, so and I couldn't do it without you. I really appreciate it. All right, everyone, take care. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. See you next week. Bye-bye.